I have a part. There is actually a part in here where we start timing. So I'm going to talk first. If you were here 3 years ago and remember anything, don't worry. We're not doing the same thing. Back then, I was arguing for why you should have a website and what it's all about. I think it's probably past that point now. People realize they probably should have a website. And so how many of you have a website already? Okay. Good. I'm glad, because if it was a whole bunch of you, I could just go home. So something's going bounce down here just a second. Okay, I know I'm still recording audio. That's what I'm trying to do. Okay. What I'm trying to do here is for all of you who think, well, I should have a website, I'm going to show you how to do it. We're going to do it right now. In fact, if I get it right, I might do it two or three times over the course of this little talk, because I think I could probably get it done in less than 15 minutes. So just to give you some background, as you already heard, I've updated the website for EAC, and I'm also in charge of the website for this company, Maverick. We're redoing the whole thing, but that's the current website there. I have my own website, which is here. I've had the website since 1997. I've been doing these blog style updates on it since late 2000. So rather a while. I tried to count the number of words in the blog, and it's the length of some very long books. I haven't gotten paid for it, so that's too bad. There's also a link here, penmachine.com/EAC. It's just a page that's got a bunch of stuff on it right now, but I'm going to put a link to this presentation and also to the audio that we're recording. There is already audio linked from there and also from the editor's site of that last presentation if you care to listen to it for any reason. We're going to get into doing this, but we're not going to do it quite right away, because first I'm going to talk about the various ways you can do it now. Used to be that when you built a website, and many of you maybe still think, to build a website you got to get Dreamweaver, or you got to learn how to write code and upload to the server and do all this and do all that, and you don't. Used to be, yeah, you had to do that. Sort of like in the early days of cars, you had to know how to crank the engine and you had to know how to fix it because it broke down all the time. Now you just buy a car and you drive it. And good thing, because I don't know how to fix my car. So these are a few options of easy ways to get yourself a website. The one I'm going to show you first is from this site called Blogger, blogger.com. These are all links, so when you go to my site, you'll be able to get it. WordPress is another option. There are actually some variants of that, but I'll show you the easiest one. There's Domain Direct is run by a company called Two Cows out of Toronto. They offer various ways to do this easily. These first two are free. That's what we're going to use tonight. This one costs you a bit of money, but not much, but it gives you some extra advantages. Apple just last month brought out a program called iWeb, which I hope to show you. It's different than the others. These ones all run on the web, so you can basically go to a website and update your website. This one is actually a program you run on your computer and you update a website. GoDaddy is one of hundreds or thousands of companies that will, you know, set you up with a website address and get your website going. And it just happens to be one that is it's run out of the States. It's pretty cheap. I just used it to set up a website for my wife, which maybe I'll show you. There's another service called TypePad, which is very similar to these two, except it costs a bit of money. NetFirms is one that Michael actually just pointed me to that he got a good package out of. So I pointed to it because he said after the research that's where he went. So I haven't been there, but Michael's there in the glasses, so you can ask him about it. He just set his up this week. Incidentally, this whole presentation I'm doing here, typically this would be done in PowerPoint. I hate PowerPoint. If you go to penmachine.com and replace this EAC with the word PowerPoint, you'll get my whole series of rants about PowerPoint. This is a web page. This whole presentation is a web page. This is my whole presentation here. I've just got it. I've got this fancy schmancy stuff here that lets me turn it into something that looks like slides, but never mind that. I just thought websites are getting more flexible than they used to be. So I'm running this whole thing. So you'll be able to get it off the website, and it will look exactly like this. You don't have to download anything. You just click on stuff. Okay, so here are a few options of what we're going to use. We're going to look at some of these. So my question is, what is a website? Now, I've got an answer up here already, but it's kind of obscure. Can I get some suggestions of what you think a website is?
It can be a place where people go to get more information about you and your service.
Excellent. Yep. Can I ask what it's for? What's the website? As an editor, if you get yourself a website, if you're a freelance editor, I'm presuming that's what we're talking about here for the most part, what is that website going to be for?
Business.
Marketing. Yeah, marketing tool primarily. Now, the argument I made the last time, so you can go listen to that presentation, I'll sum it all up, is that, yes, that's what it's for you, but really what it's for, in order to accomplish that, is it has to be useful for the people who are visiting it. So it can be minimally useful if they come to it and it says, I'm a writer and editor, and here's my phone number and my email address. That's great. That's better than nothing, because people are going to look for you. If you give them your card, even if it doesn't have a web address, they're going to type in Google, you know, who are you? And if you have a website, maybe it'll come up, and then at least they'll get what they're looking for. But the more useful it is, the more stuff you've got on there that people find interesting or that gives them information, like how much do you charge and what kind of work do you do and what kind of work have you done and what kind of samples have you got and who else have you worked for, the more of that kind of stuff you can put on there, the better, because it'll be more useful and more interesting and easier to find, and you're more likely to get business out of it. I hardly do any freelance work at all anymore. I freelanced full-time for a few years, and then I got this job at Maverick, the company I work for, and I like it, and it's busy, and I have other work, and I have kids and stuff, so I do a little bit of freelance work for the people I've already done work for. But I still always, quite regularly, at least once a week, get people coming to my website basically saying, can I give you some money to do some work for me? And that's not because I have ever really gone out and said, I'm going to market myself as an editor. It's just because I have this website and I keep writing stuff. And it's stuff, some of the stuff's about editing. And my website says writer and editor at the top, and that works. So that happened to me quite organically. I just happen to keep writing about stuff, and there's so much out there, and people have linked to it that people find me. So that's another reason to have a website, because you start to get business out of the blue. I never really had, even when I was freelancing, I never had to cold call anybody, because I got word of mouth stuff and they would look at my website and see what I was, I had people from Virginia and the United Kingdom and Australia and people I hadn't met and never have who stumbled across my website and gave me business. And that still happens if I could take it. Now I send them to our hotline, so maybe some of you have gotten that work. So technically, and this is something that's worth knowing, all a website is it's a computer. It could be a computer like this one. You could run a website off here, but typically it's a specialized server computer that's sitting in some sort of warehouse thing somewhere. And it has a hard disk inside it, just like your computer does, and it has a whole bunch of text files on it, and a whole bunch of pictures and whatever else. And all that the website is it's plugged into the internet, and other computers like yours find it and say, I want this particular text file, and it sends it over the internet, and then your computer turns it into something like this. So that's, at the fundamental technical level, that's all a website is. It's not magic. It's just computers sending information back and forth to each other, and yours interprets it to turn it into something that looks nice. So my other question is, what is a blog? Somebody know?
A rant?
No.
Online journal?
That's a pretty good thing. Blog is short for weblog, which is a word that got invented a few years ago for a particular kind of website, and mine is one of those. Let's see if I can. Oops, no, that's not what I wanted to do. Let's go to mine again. Now, as is typical with geeky computer stuff, there are actually arguments about what constitutes a blog and what doesn't. I would say mine's definitively blog. What a blog is a website that's really easy to update. That's fundamentally what it is. You use a piece of software, you either on your computer or on another website, you basically sign in and you type whatever you want to say, you click a button, and it puts it as the latest thing at the top of the whatever blog page it is, and the older ones move down and eventually they end up in archives. All the stuff's there, the newest stuff's at the top, and you don't have to do any work except to actually write it and say publish. And that's why I'm going to show you this stuff today, because that's what it is. That's what it is that makes a website easy to run now. And I would encourage you to run your website as a blog rather than a series of static pages that you have to open up and edit and say, oh, here's my latest project. It's not as formally structured as other websites are, but because it's so easy to update, you actually do. And that makes it useful. And people can find stuff. And if, you know, if they search, you know, if you have a search box like this, they can find stuff. You know, if they want to save from me, you know, what's, well, if they want to see my phone number, it's at the top of every page up here. That's an easy way to do it. Yes?
Correct. Can you run a blog in parallel to a website?
Yes. In fact, I mean, a blog is really just a series of web pages that are part of a website, and you could have a blog as part of your website, and that's exactly what I have. I have the blog that happens to be my homepage, because I find, why not, because that's the most up-to-date part. But I've got another page that's just sort of about me stuff, pictures of my kids. I've got work samples page, which I almost never update. Various other things. You know, I've got a music page where you can buy my albums. Please buy my album, by the way. I'm also a musician, so a whole bunch of other stuff. So the blog can just be part of your site, but the kind of site we're talking about today, that's all it's going to be because that's the easiest thing to do. Once you figure out what else you can do, that's fine. This other thing. I'll talk about this as feed. That's what my shirt's about. It says, feed me. All modern blog software also publishes that stuff you see on the homepage in a separate sort of stripped-down version that people can actually subscribe to. And that may not be all that useful to you. You might not say, well, why would I do that? Why would I have people reading my stuff that's not on my website? Well, I'll show you how I read a lot of people's websites. I read several dozen and on occasion sometimes several hundred websites every day. And this is how I do it. This is what's called a feed reader program. And I'll just go down to my website. This is my website. It shows the last however many entries on my website in this form. So it's the same thing you were seeing there, except it's in a very stripped down method. And there's a lot of people who are starting to use this as a way to read websites.
How is it stripped down?
Well, the actual, if you look here, I can actually change what this looks like. Mm-hmm. If I, let me see here, browsing appearance. Oh, there's a way to do it somehow. Anyway, I can totally change what this looks like here, because all that's really getting is the text and the pictures, but it's not getting all the layout and all the colors and all the stuff that are on my website. Don't worry about it too much. All I'm saying is there's ways for people to read your website without actually going to it directly. They can sort of skim through it, almost like reading email. And all the modern blog software does this automatically, so you don't really have to worry about it. But this is something that's becoming more and more common and useful for people. Have you heard of podcasting?
Yeah.
Basically, that's radio that, in a way, it's internet radio shows, but you, instead of listening to them live, they just get downloaded to your computer. You subscribe to a particular one you like Quirks and Quirks on CBC does this. You get it on your computer. You can put it on your iPod. But basically, you can listen to it whatever you want, wherever you want. You can listen to it on your computer. It automatically goes on your iPod or your MP3 player.
So it's not real time.
It's not real time. But so, you know, you wouldn't do a call-in show. But a show like Quirks and Quirks or, you know, it's not just radio stations. I do one. My wife's setting up one. Anybody can make one of these. And the way it goes out is through these sort of feeds. There's different software. iTunes will read these and get the audio files instead of text like this. So it's turning into a thing. I don't want to get too hung up on that. But the reason I bring that up is because that makes you go, how can I possibly get all that together in 15 minutes? Well, we're going to do it because, as I said, it's pretty much automated. So what I'm going to do is, we're going to click the button here, and it's going to say, start your timer. So I'm going to look up here, 7:56. So we need to be done, let's say 7:57 by the time I get started. We need to be done by 12 minutes after, right? Okay. So I'm going to change this now. The place I'm going to go to is this site called blogger.com. This is where I first set up my website, or my blog, I should say, almost 6 years ago. I haven't changed because... No, it just did that. Just go to blogger.com or click the link on my slide there when you get to it. They've been around. They were probably the earliest organization that did this. This is totally free. It's owned by Google now, so they have lots of money, and they can make it free for you for no particular reason other than Later on, as you get more expert, you can actually start putting ads on your site very easily, and Google gets most of the money and you get a little bit of it. So that's one incentive for them to do it for free. So you get all this stuff and whatever. Fortunately, they have a nice big orange arrow down here saying, create your blog now. So when you go home, before you go to bed, go to blogger.com and click this button. Okay, step two, choose a username. This may be the longest part of the whole process. I'm going to choose an easy one. I'm going to go EACBC, like that. I hope they accept dashes. If they don't, we may get delayed. And for a password, I'm just going to enter something. I'm just going to enter EACBC without the dash. And then they make you retype it so that you make sure you didn't make a mistake the first time. And the display name in this case is, this is what you're going to use when you actually sign in. This is the name that's going to show up when you make a new blog posting or whatever. It's going to say who posted it. So I'm going to say that my name is, what's a good name?
Ricky Ewing.
I'm not going to build a website for you. This is supposed to be the sort of teach a man to fish kind of operation. So let's make it Ned. I'm going to make it Ned Flanders because he probably needs a blog. And email address, I'm going to use one of mine because in case I ever need to get email. So this is one of my email addresses. All my email addresses go to the same place. I accept the terms of service. I'm not going to read the terms of service because that's going to delay me, and I've been working with these people for a long time. I encourage you to read the terms of service in case there is something in there that offends your sensibilities, but I'm not going to do it. Oh, I must have 6 characters in the password. Oh, we're losing time. Okay. I'm just going to use one of my standard passwords. Fine. Okay. And here's the next part. What are we going to call this blog? We're going to call it...
Wednesday night.
Okay, Wednesday night at the Y. Wednesday at the Y dot blogspot.com. This is one of the issues with this particular way to make a website. Don't worry about it too much. You don't get your own whole address here. You don't get Wednesday night at the Y dot com. I'll address that afterwards. That's not going to count as part of the 15 minutes.
And does it have to be all lowercase as you've done there?
Well, if you make it uppercase, it matters not because people can type it in either way because I've been on the web for a long time. I never type web addresses in lower. I could make it upper and mixed case, but people can type it either way, both ways, all uppercase. It's all going to work. Oh. So that's generally true of web addresses anyway. If you will notice this if you ever accidentally hit your caps lock key and went to, you know, apple.com. It still works. So that was a smart move on the part of, because like geeky technical people tend to think of capital and lowercase letters as actually different things. So in the really hardcore computing world, those would be totally different, but fortunately they didn't go that way. The one other difficulty is that they make this weird thing that you have to type in. The reason they do this is that this is sort of distorted, and a human being can figure out roughly what it is, but an automated computer program that's trying to create a blog in order to spam people can't. So the difficulty, of course, is if you're blind, this gives you big trouble, and a lot of blind people are really annoyed. There is an advanced setup down here. Obviously, we're not going to do that tonight, but that's what I use because I actually run Blogger to my own site. Let's not worry about that right now. Okay. So here we go. The next thing is to choose a template. So you want to see what your blog is going to look like. I already know which one I like, but I'm going to scroll down and sort of show you. And you can see what any of them look like by, let's see if I can find the one I was thinking of. This one. This is not the one I'm going to take, but this gives you an idea. This is not your material, but this is what it would look like with some stuff in it. Happens to be that the guy who designed this used to work at the desk next to me, and then he got way too famous because he made a famous web design book, and then he left the company, but that's what happens. These templates were all designed by very well-known web designers, and they're all very technically elegant and all sorts of stuff. But basically, you just pick one that you like. There are ways to get different templates here. There are ways to do your own templates. There's ways to do all sorts of stuff. I would wait until you've been doing it for a while before you get there. So I'm going to pick dots, because that's my favorite one. And I'm going to click continue. No. Okay, your blog is going to create. We're not done yet. But it exists now. So, just, basically keep following the orange arrows and you're getting there. Now it goes, it says start posting. So this is, once you've gotten yourself an address and you've signed in stuff, you get to this sort of thing where you say something like, title, here we are at the YWCA Center on Wednesday. Oops. This terribly exciting. Is having such a good time. Okay, so, and then I can do something like highlight this and then click on this little chain link thing and put in the address to my website. It's a little, you can't see it from there very well, it's just a globe with a chain link on it. If you hover over all these buttons with your mouse, it'll say link. It means you're putting a link in there. So you don't have to type all the obscure, you still have to type the address or paste it in from somewhere. But it makes it easy. You can even put images in. Let's see if I can do that.
Ricky wants one of
them. Well, I don't think I have one here, but you click an image and you say, okay, where do you want it from? We're going to say right, I'm going to put it on the right. And you can even pick an image from the web, so if you know the address of one, or you can just pick one off your computer. So I'm going to pick one like, I'm going to go pictures. What have I got? Not much. I must have something here. Okay, I'm just going to pick some random photo or picture here. I'm going to take this one. My favorite web browser. I have a favorite web browser, so that tells you I am a nerd. Okay, I'm going to say upload image. It's doing something. Okay, I'm losing part of my 15 minutes here. Come on. I have to abort this process. Okay, there we go. Done. Okay, and there it is. And this is, you can, there. Preview mode shows you roughly what it's going to look like when you get on. That's not a real complete look. So you can preview. If you want to, you can go in and edit the actual code if you're that sort of person. But if not, you know, you can make, you can put in boldface. You can do all sorts of things. But I'm just going to go publish post. You can save as draft, which is very handy if you're writing something angry. And you want to go and delete it later.
What did you just do to put that on?
Do put what on the picture? Publish. I'll go back. I'll show you. I typed what I was going to type, and then there's a publish post button down here at the bottom.
Is there a sign box once you get to your having them on your...
Well, they certainly wouldn't, because Firefox is, I mean, this is getting off track. Firefox is a web browser that's not Internet Explorer, and it's what's called open source, which means that everybody who works on it does it for free, and anybody can work on it, and anybody can change stuff. So they certainly wouldn't care if you put their logo on your website, because it's free. So... you know, if I were to put a, if you, theoretically, if I were to put somebody's copyrighted Pulitzer Prize winning photo there, I could get in trouble. Probably you wouldn't get in trouble unless you're actually making money off of it. So, it gets more complicated with songs, but let's not worry about that too much. Yeah?
How could we put the EAC logo on our website?
Well, there are a variety of ways. I would have just, if I had a copy of it on my local computer, like, or let's do that, because... You can click on that and delete it. Very handy. Well, yeah, okay, but I think I can probably get away with it for now. Let's not worry about the legalities. We're riding the open range here. So on any website, if you find a picture that you like, generally, if you right click on it, if you use the right click button, there's something like view image or show it in another tab or something. If you do that, it shows you the image and it also gives you the address of where it is. Here. So I'm just going to copy that. Copy. And I'm going to go back here. Notice I'm not worried too much about my time. I'm going to paste it in here. Edit, paste. Oops. Didn't paste. Check. Edit, paste. I'm going to say small, right, whatever. Okay, upload image. Done. And there we go.
So I thought this courage is going to have some bandwidth depth.
Yeah, well, this is not actually taking it from the editor's site. It's actually taking it from the editor's site and republishing it up to my site.
Okay.
so it's not stealing bandwidth from anybody. If that doesn't make sense to you, don't worry about it. Basically, people discourage you from actually linking to an image on somebody else's website and putting it on your own and basically just pointing to the one on their website, because if you get really popular, they end up having to pay for sending images over to your site. But it's not an issue for most people. And in fact, I allow people to do it from my site. So if you want to take images from my site that belong to me, go ahead. Okay, I'm going to click publish again. And there it is. Okay. And
does that mean you published twice?
I did, but I published the same thing twice. At least I hope I did. I may not have. We'll find out, I guess. No, I did two things, but that's because I went back. I'll show you what. So basically, we've done two things here. We did one that's got this in it and one that's in there. And I think that officially counts as I've started a website now. So we're at 8:08. We're 4 minutes ahead of time. There you go. Now, I'll show you some tricks with this. If you go back to... Did I actually spell Wednesday there right? Yeah, I did. Sorry, it's such a weird word. I can never quite figure it out. Okay, so if we go back to Blogger again, now that we're signed in, rather than showing us that homepage where you start your blog, it gives you a list of the blogs that you have. You can have more than one. In fact, you can have pretty much as many as you want. So if you click on this, it shows you the posts that you have, and you can say, oh, well, that I accidentally did two there, and I don't want this one. Well, you see all these tabs up here? These give you options to do all sorts of things. So this is editing the posts and doing other stuff. And over here, there's a thing that says delete. I'm just going to delete that first one. It says, you sure you want to do that? Okay, delete it. The orange buttons are very handy. If you just follow the orange buttons, you'll do your basic thing. And now if we go look at it, it's gone. And if I wanted to go in and edit this post and change something and republish it, I could do that if I wanted to. And then when I add a new one, it goes on top and the old one goes down. And it automatically creates archives that are organized by month. Right now you don't see anything new there because there's only one post. But as it adds, you would eventually get March, April, May, June, July. If you go to my site, do I still have it up? No, we'll go back. If you go to my site, there's a... I do mine slightly differently, but... why did I get so big all of a sudden? Okay, anyway. This is my list, starting in October 2000, and it keeps going out of February 2006. And if you click on any random date, like, say, July 2003, you get the 31st at the top, and you get... July... Oh, I guess I didn't do it. So July 2nd was the first one I did. So that's the whole month of July 2003 of my life. There you go. And so on. And you can change what the site looks like, and you can do all sorts of other stuff with those settings. Basically, once you've got it set up, you can go in and start playing around. You
upload a file from your My Documents folder?
You probably can. I'm not sure exactly the mechanism because I don't do it that way, but there are ways to do that. Eventually, you'd have to get to the point where you'd know how to do some additional things. But yeah, you could...
Can you cut and paste it in?
No. Well, you could cut and paste, for example, the text of a Word document, yes.
No.
One thing you do have to be careful about is that if your Word document, as it tends to, has stuff like M dashes, and curly quotes and other things, they'll get all gorped up. So what you need to do is you need to go in Word, and I'm not going to give them one of my Word seminars here. You need to turn all that stuff off and make sure all your quotes are straight and you don't have any weirdo characters in there, like E's with X on the goos on them and stuff like that. It needs to be sort of a plain text thing. So yes, you can copy and paste out of Word. It can get a bit dicey with that sort of stuff, but plenty of people do, and plenty of people just leave all the weird characters in. That's fine. Sure. What you do is you copy it. Well, let me do it. I'm over here in Word. I'm going to create a new document. And I'm going to say this is a new document. And then I'm going to go. Now, the other thing that's not going to carry through is things like bulleted lists and stuff like that in Word. You're just going to get the plain text in there. So I generally... I'm actually not a big fan of Word either. I use it because I have to. So now I'm going to copy, and I'm going to go back to my Blogger, and I'm going to create a new post. No orange button there. Sorry, it's blue this time, but that's okay. Create a new post, and then I'm going to say, okay, edit, paste. And yes, it is too. And next post.
Is there a workaround for the accented characters?
There are ways to do it. Usually it involves, in fact, this might, let's see, this might automatically deal with that. Yes.
Let's see what that does.
I mean, obviously I'm not spelling that correctly. No, that doesn't look like it's going to work. So you will have to learn some of the ways in which you have to write those characters in this mode. I actually end up writing them by hand in the HTML code where you actually do what you do. Is something very obscure, which looks like this. E acute with a semicolon at the end of it. And then it turns into that. So if you insist on doing that, you're going to have to learn some HTML. But there are other ways to deal with that, but not in this particular tool.
Does it help?
Pardon?
Does it help?
Does it not in Blogger, I don't think. It might. He can look. On the web... there are tables of things. I think they call them HTML entities. It's sort of the table of what do you type when you want one of those weird thorn characters or something. You can do it. And if you email me, I can tell you more, but probably won't do it now. So here's our next post. Now there's another one there. And if you want to see how, you know, what that turns into over time, the website I set up for my wife the other day. Oops. I forgot the extra W. Come on. Lip gloss and laptops. Her. No, I did two W's. Here it comes. It was just slow. So I used that same dot thing, but I did some little tweaks and turned this into fancier, and we put some pictures in there and stuff. I think the internet connection is just slow. But I basically used the same technique, except I did some other stuff, which I'll talk about in a minute, to get this to be not blogspot.com. But, and there we go, lip gloss and well, actually, I had lipstick, but close enough.
And why is that called a podcast?
Well, it's not a podcast yet, but what she and her friend are going to be doing at this website is putting audio files here that you can download. They're just not doing that until March.
Whatever. Yeah, there's some ways in Blogger or some templates in Blogger that let you do something that's a little less bloggy and a little more like a like where you would put, okay, here's my writing sample.
There are other templates out there that are more like that, but the ones that come with Blogger are very bloggy, as you might expect from the name. So, yes, but no. Yeah, Karen.
So the blog on your website,
yeah.
Is that with Blogger.com?
It's with, I use it with Blogger, but I actually publish it to my own web server.
So how do you do that?
I'll talk about that in a minute. One other thing that I'll show you just quickly is how to do this with another tool so that I'm not being biased towards Blogger. And because I happen to know the guy who wrote this piece of software. This is another one called WordPress, also a very nice piece of software. And again, it works a similar way. Instead of an orange button, it's a blue button that says, get a WordPress blog now. Now. Okay, let's see what happens. Like the internet connection is going a bit flaky. Here we go. Very similar kind of idea, except here, your username is actually the thing that your address turns into. So we're going to call this Wednesday Y. And we're going to call it Wednesday Night at the Y. And I'm going to use...
How long is this site existing?
Indefinitely. If I don't delete that site that we just made... I have no indication that Blogger will ever delete it. I mean, presumably, if you let it sit there for 5 years and never update it, I think they would be within their rights to delete it, but there is no reason they have to. Hard disk space is cheap, and if nobody ever goes there, it doesn't cost them anything. So, what language will I be... See, here it gives you a choice.
Are you paying for all that space you're using?
I'm not paying for anything with this. This is all free. And this is why I'm encouraging you to do it. Just go do it, and you got a website, and it doesn't cost you anything. The price you pay is that you don't have the, you know, rickyewings.com at the top. which we'll get to in a minute. But let's say, okay, I'm not going to blog in Afrikaans. This one may give you some options to do those accents in an easier way. I'm going to see if I can find English in here. There we go. This is another interesting thing. They do some automatic stuff for, I would like my blog to appear in search engines like Google and TechnoReady and public listings. Basically, you have the option of publishing it but never telling anybody it's there. That doesn't mean it's not going to get into Google, because if anybody links to you, it will. But it means that it's going to sort of sit there in relative obscurity, which may be what you want. If you want a totally private one, you can't do it this way. Sign up.
You want a totally private one, don't put it on the web.
Yeah, exactly. If you want something totally private, don't put it on the web. That's a smart rule. Okay, and this one sends you an email with the login details. I'm not going to follow up with all that, but essentially it gives you a very similar experience. It just, you get different templates and stuff like that. So this is a good thing to try as well. I'm pointing more people towards WordPress now than to Blogger, because it's got some more flexibility. It lets you do things like assign categories to your posts. So you can say, this post is about editing and this other one's about my cat. And then people can find all the ones about editing and they can ignore the ones about your cat. Or all the ones about your cat and ignore the ones about editing. I mean, you know, depending. So it gives you a bit more flexibility.
Where's the next orange arrow?
In this case, you have to wait for an email. It says you should receive an email with the login details shortly.
Okay.
This is their method of, like, those weird characters you typed in to prevent machines from doing this automatically. I guess, you know, and there's probably some other stuff there. But anyway, it exists already, but it hasn't been activated yet. So if I did that, then it would be activated. Okay. Let's see if I got time to do that. There it is. I happen to have my email set up in the web browser, so. I hope there's nothing embarrassing in the rest of my email that you're going to see. Okay, so there we go. You click on this link, and then it sets it up. That's all you have to do. And there it is. And in this case, you log in down here. And I guess it probably sent me... It sent me a password, so I'm going to go Wednesday, why... and remember me, and then I'm going to go back to my email, and that's my password, which you can change. You don't have to remember that really weird password. Log in. Sure, I'll remember that. And here, there's a bunch of stuff. You can write a post, you can update your profile, change your password, same sort of idea, just slightly different method. So I'm flying through this, but if you actually do this yourself, you can... I mean, as with anything on the web, or actually in anything with computers, it actually is relatively hard to break stuff. So I would encourage you to just go through and click and see what you can do. And if it doesn't work, just change it back to what it was before. And if it really breaks, find out how to delete this and then start over and do another one. Or don't delete it, just start another one with a slightly different name. Which is fine, because the old one will, you know, if you start updating the new one, Wednesday Y with two Ys, or whatever, that'll be the one people see. So that's doing it twice. I'm going to show you one more, just because I want to. And that is that program iWeb I was talking about that Apple has. You have to buy this. Yes, Grant.
One way to get your site more visible to Google is to continue to add new material to that. Does Blogger do that for the site that you have it part of?
Sorry, so what Graham's saying is that what Google likes, basically, is sites that get updated regularly. And I'm not sure I understood the rest of the question.
So if your blog is part of your site, does Google read that as new material?
Yes, absolutely. And what it means is that Google looks at your blog in particular. And really, a blog is just a web page and part of your website, just like anything else. I mean, all a website is a bunch of these text files, and Blogger makes a bunch of these text files for you, and they're all part of your website. Or they are your website in this case. So if you're updating your blog regularly, Google sees, oh, it gets updated, and there's stuff about editing in there. So obviously it's not like you're going to be number one in the rankings, but if you write interesting stuff and other people point to it, that's what's going to happen eventually. So anyway, here I am in this program, iWeb. This is part of the iLife suite, and it only works if you have a Mac, so there are other programs for the PC, but none of them are as good. You can tell I like my Mac. But what What this does is this is a program that's part of all this other stuff they have, GarageBand and iTunes and all this iDVDs. Anyway, this is a new one. And you say, okay, I want to make a new website. And it very, very much like Blogger does, it says, well, pick yourself a template and kind of page you want. So I'm going to say, I'm going to pick baby. And I'm going to say, I'm going to do a welcome page. Or no, a blog. I'm going to do a blog, because that's what I should be doing. And so it does a little stuff, and it starts this, and it says, okay, you got your blog. And in this case, it fills it in with sort of fake content, which you can replace. So you can say, you know, playtime with baby Derek. And then you go in here and replace the fake Latin with some actual words. And you can do a series of them over time. You can add three or four at a time if you want. And the second thing about this is that this is actually very smart on the part of Apple. This is supremely easy to use, runs on your computer, but the way it works the best is not only if you buy their program, but also if you buy their web service, which is called .NAC at NAC.com. which costs something like $100 a year, and it gives you email and storage and a bunch of other stuff. And then, if you have that, all you need to do is click publish. And it's uploading the pictures and doing all this stuff. And once it's done with this, it'll be up there. And similarly, you add it here. The difficulty with this approach of running a program on your computer, you can also drag stuff around here. It's very much like using a desktop publishing program. The difficulty with this is you can only update this from your computer, from the one computer. So if you're at somebody else's house, you can't update your blog. And if you're traveling in Peru and you're at an internet cafe, you can't update your blog, not unless you have a laptop that's got your installation on it. So this is a somewhat elegant way, but it has its difficulties, and I wouldn't personally do it. Because the thing about Blogger and WordPress and all these other services is you can get at, as long as you have that username and password, you can get at them from anywhere, at all. You can, you know, as I said, you can be on the Machu Picchu Trail in Peru on an internet cafe, which exists because I've gotten email from people there, and you can update your blog, and if there's a way to plug in your camera, you can upload your pictures and show people what's going on. If not, you can at least describe what you're seeing. It's taking a while. I guess it's because it's got the big picture.
Yeah.
Well, given that they're owned by Google, and they've already been around for 6 years, I doubt it. There are ways to get your stuff off there if necessary, and you can actually publish to your own space like I do if you go through the more advanced methods later. And in that case, you're safe. And you can certainly, basically, you can pretty much rely that they're not going anywhere, because Google's making money hand over fist, and they've every indication. There are other ways to do blogs. Microsoft has one called MSN Spaces that lets you do something similar. It's also free. I find it ugly, like I do most Microsoft things, but that's my problem. If you have an email account and you've got a web space with somebody like Shaw or Telus, they may offer you ways to do this. I don't know what they are, but you could always call them up and say, what do you got for me if I want to set up a blog? And if they go, huh? Then go somewhere else. You know, there's lots of options. There are many other sites like the one Michael went to where you can get to a host and they'll do it all for you. They'll get you the domain name and they'll get you a blog and they'll set it all up for you and they'll give you tech support and you might have to pay them $100 a year, but $100 a year is like nothing, relatively speaking, you know, compared to what you should be getting out of this. This is really slow, so I'm going to do something else. Well, it'll get done eventually and then... Oops, that's not what I wanted. There. No? Hello? Are we there? Okay. So where is my presentation? Okay, we're way over with the timers. We've done it again. We've done it 3 times now. Now we're going to talk about getting the domain. No, we're not done. Typically, you think of a website as, like mine, penmachine.com or editors.ca or whatever like that. That has quite a bit of value. The thing that you get about one of these things that's, you know, wednesdaynight.blogspot.com is that you're part of Blogspot, which is, you know, the blogging network. And first of all, it doesn't give you much of a brand, because especially among people who know things, they go, well, all they got is the Blogspot account. Whatever. Not a big deal. But the secondary thing is, if you ever want to move your website to somewhere else, you're going to lose that address. And it's just like now, you have an email address that's, say, at telus.ca or telus.com or whatever they have it, telus.net, I guess. What happens if you go to Shaw? You lose your email address, and everybody who's got your email address can't reach you anymore, and you have to tell them all. Well, if you're somebody like me and you get a domain, penmachine.com, and I give out my business cards with DK Miller at penmachine.com, I've had that at Telus, I've had that at another company, I've had that at three or four different companies now, and now I read it all in Gmail, which is all online through Google, but I haven't changed the address that people send it to me at. So if they have a card of mine from 5 years ago, they still have my email address and they still have my website because it hasn't changed. So that provides you a benefit. The difficulty is there's no way to do that for free that I know of because you have to pay for the domain. It doesn't have to be expensive, but... And I want to explain something technical because I want to. When you go to a website, you know, you're here at your computer. It's a Mac, of course, I think. And you want to go to this website, which is penmachine.com. That's where you want to go. That's not what actually happens. And in fact, it's a lot like this. Here you are, looking like Abraham Lincoln. And you want to go to my house. That's where you want to go. But you don't just say, okay, I'm going out the door and I'm going to Derek's house. And if you don't know where it is, you're in trouble. So what that typically means is that you've got some sort of information about it. You've got an address, like for, you know, whatever my address is, or you have a postal code. I'm using this because it's obscure. If you actually knew how to get to this postal code, you would find my house, because I happen to be the only house with that postal code. That's not usually true, but, well, and my parents live next door. They have the same postal code. So if you showed up there, they'd know where to send you. So this, you know, if you had this piece of information, it wouldn't help you that much. I mean, you could go to the postal code back, look, but what you would do is you would say, okay, I'm going to go to the phone book or the lookup directory or whatever. You're going to look for my name, and it's going to tell you what my address is, and then you're going to follow those directions there. The next time you go, you're just going to go straight there because you know where it is. It works exactly the same way with websites. In this case, we just change the names. Instead of you, it's your computer. And instead of my house, it's penmachine.com. And instead of the postal code, it's this obscure number, which is called an IP address, which is the actual number of the website. Every computer on the internet has its own number. This one has a number right now that's different from every other computer that's connected to the internet. And they've had to change this scheme because they're starting to run out of numbers. So instead of the phone book, it's a thing called a domain server. You don't have to worry. Don't worry about these details too much. I just want to kind of explain what's going on. So let's change the pictures so that we're in computer land again. So your computer, you could actually type this right in if you knew what this address was. If you type that in, let's find out. I want to see if that actually works. 6973157. Oh, 157100. Okay. Six nine seven three 157100. How about that? So there it is. Kind of off center. I don't know quite why that. Oh, it's because I have the window. So that is the address of my website, really. However, in a lot of cases, in my case, that number is permanent. But in a lot of cases, that number can change for various reasons. So it's not a good thing. It's a good thing that the people who designed the internet made sure that you didn't actually have to type in a number like that. Because you know what that would be like? That would be like the phone. And how awful is that? Trying to remember these huge long strings of numbers, especially when you got to remember the area code too. And in fact, I remember an anecdote back in, you know, early on when everybody had operators and you used to pick up, you know, ding, 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 operator, I want to speak to whoever. Somebody looked at how popular phones were getting. And they said, you know, at the rate things are going, everybody in the world is going to have to be an operator. And you know what? It's true. Because what the operators used to do is they used to patch you through to where you had to go. Now, you dial the numbers, which tells the system where you're going, so you're the operator now. And that's a crappy way to do it. This is much better. I mean, even the way it is kind of obscure with the triple W's and the dot coms and all that. But at least it's something you can remember. And in fact, that's why you should have a website, because nobody's going to remember your phone number. But even if they lose your business card, if you've got a good domain, they'll remember your website. Anyway, I'm getting off track again. So here, we've converted Abraham Lincoln in my house into a computer and another computer. And what it does, so instead of typing this number in directly, you type in www.penmachine.com, and what that really does is that goes to some other computers out there on the internet and asks them, what is this really? And they reply, it's this thing. So it's just like going to the phone book and saying, where is Derek's house? And it says, it's at this address with this postal code. So it sends back and the computer goes, aha, I'm going to go to that number now, and you get to the website you want to do. So why I explain this is because that domain, that penmachine.com, doesn't actually live in the same place as your website. Your website is just this number. And there's just a directory out there that tells other computers where that is. So that means that you don't have to get the domain from the same place. Oh, look, this is done. Oh, that's the wrong one. What did we call that? This is another one I did. This is the problem. I did this with another computer, and now it's all confused. Site. Now let's see what happens. What thing was I on? There we go. See if this works. Site. I think it's going to work this time. Oh, that's a different picture. I wonder how I did that. Oh, no, that's... Sorry, this is the header, and then this is the actual entry I made down here. Some actual words. And then if I'd actually written more, it would give you other... Anyway, this gives you a blog, but again, it's kind of cool, but it's only really good if you only ever write your blog from one place. Or one computer. So if you have a laptop that you take with you absolutely everywhere, and you back it up regularly, then you can do this. But anyway, I just wanted to present it as an option. This is one of my company things. I actually used iWeb as an experiment to see how to do this. So let's get rid of that. So anyway, we got through this whole rigmarole. What I'm saying here is, I'm not done yet, is that you can go somewhere else to get your domain than where you got your website. So one good example of that is this service. I pointed to it before. It's in the links at the beginning, domaindirect.com. And this is what I used to do with my website. I had it at TELUS, so it was one of these www.telus.net/dkmiller something really awful. Here you can buy a domain and do all this stuff, and they have this service... These sites are always so confusing. They've got so much crap on them. So here, they have a blogging thing here. So here's the option I was talking about. If you wanted to get it all dealt with here in one place, you go to this blogging thing. $99 US a year, of course, even though it's in Canada. It gives you a whole bunch of storage space you can do with. You get the domain name, so you get to register what your domain is. You get email, and you get a blog thing all built in. They take care of it all for you. It's done. And you give them another $100 next year. Or you go to some other provider and you get to keep the name and there's some transferring stuff involved. So that's a really easy way to do it if you want to spend some money, which I wasn't going to do just to give you a demo. But so that's an option. Or you can do various other things. You can park a domain if you're not sure what you're going to do with it. Basically, you just get it for $15 and then you can figure out what to do with it later. In this case, you just get you get email and you get some other stuff. One service they have, and I'll show you an example of a site that does this, is it's called, what do they call it? URL Keeper, because URL is what you call a web address. And this is one of the guys in one of my bands. Or in my band. So he has a site, Adam Woodall Band. His name is Adam Woodall, not surprisingly. He's this guy over here. And when I type this in, it goes to a site that looks like it's Adam Woodall Band. Because it is. But what this site is really is, because I'm a nice guy, and he's in my band. Oops, is that not right? Adam Woodall. Oh, no, sorry. There. That's what it really is. And I just use their little service. And what it does is it does a little trick where it actually, well, I won't explain what it does. It just does a trick that basically puts that address at the top and then puts the other site underneath. The difficulty with that is you can't have sub-addresses like this underneath it. If you go to his site, you'll notice that no matter what you do on the links, you never see anything that's adamwoodallband/anything. What you do is we've set it up so that when you click here, it says listen.adamwoodallband. And it's doing exactly the same trick. And if you do buy and if you do contact, they all, it's just a slightly awkward thing, but that's not so bad. If you have a blog, you will end up, if people link to the actual addresses, they may be some long, horrible thing. But it's not a bad way because you end up spending, whatever it was, $30 a year. It's more elegant if you just go to them and pay them the money. And there are plenty of other services that will do the same thing. But I would recommend that go ahead tonight, go back, set up that blog account and whatever. Later on, figure out what you want to do about a domain. And maybe you'll point it at the Blogger one. Maybe you'll end up doing one of those advanced setups where you get a space somewhere else, and then it'll be exact. Once you get all the setup done, which is a little bit complicated, then it turns into exactly the same thing. You just go to Blogger, type your stuff in, and it ends up on your website, which is what I do. So on my site, I go to Blogger exactly like I was showing, and I make a new post. Yes?
If you get a blog, and then later on get our own domain.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm indicating right now. So in my case, I started off with one. I started off with one that was what I was doing here with the sort of hidden stuff. And I actually, when I first started, I had some long, horrible address. And I could have had one that was at Blogspot. But in my case now, what I've done, and in fact, I'll show you what I've done by going back to my web thing here. And in my case, when I go to Blogger, if you look at my settings, I'll sort of show you quickly. You don't need to memorize any of this, but I'll show you what my setting is. When I'm at publishing here, instead of, you see here, there's a setting for blogspot.com. This is what most people get. The advanced setting is where you enter all this stuff, which is stuff that you get from your, you know, when you order a domain or when you order some hosting services, or if you're with TELUS or somebody like that, or if you're from Domain Direct or whatever, they give you this information. They say, okay, when, you know, this is your address, this is what you have to do when you log in, this is your password and stuff. Basically, you might need to talk to somebody to get some help with this, but once this is set up, which is a one-time process, then you do exactly what you were doing before. And you can, for example, say, I'm... Yeah. Now, I prefer to write the code myself, so I've got all the little tags in there, but publish. Don't worry that the buttons were a different color. It's just because I'm using a different web browser. And now when I go back to my site, I'm writing this from the AC meeting. Hey, everybody. So I just updated my site. Now it happens to be at penmachine.com. But now, once I set it up, which I did 5 years ago, I haven't had to change it since. Yes, Karen.
Can you make it look like the same style as your website?
I went in and made my own template. So, A, you figure out how to do it. B, you hire somebody.
Is it pretty tricky?
Yeah, you have to be reasonably dedicated to make it happen. Yes, Paulette. Yeah.
You've got a web designer to make the website.
Yeah.
And if I want to do a blog, but I incorporate it into my website, would I create a page then?
What you would do is you would talk to your designer, who would probably understand this, and you would say, can you make me a template for Blogger that's the same as my current website? And for them, that's actually pretty easy. And in fact, that's what I did, because I had a website before I had this Blogger thing set up. And when I first went to Blogger, I didn't like any of their templates, so I set up a basic one, and then I went in and I changed the template, which I'll show you where you do it, not how to do it. There's this tab template, and this is the raw code of the page. So essentially, they would go take whatever the code is for the pages that you have already, and they plug in some special stuff into it. Let me show you what it looks like. There are these wacky tags, things like this main or archive page, and a few other things. Mine's quite involved, but essentially they just stick some placeholders into the regular template, and when you put it in Blogger, those get filled in with whatever you type into Blogger. So essentially you just talk to your web designer and say, can you make me a template in Blogger or in whatever software you're using that looks like the rest of my website? And then you end up with something like mine, where there's the blog, and then there's the whole rest of the site, and they all look basically the same. There are other technical ways to do this, through things called includes, where you really only have one web page design, and basically all the other elements, the colors and the pictures and stuff, get plugged in automatically by the web server. That's something to talk to a web designer about. But again, once you've got that set up, unless you want to change the design, you don't have to go in and muck with any code when you update your website. You just make a new post. And what I do, for example, is if there's something else going on, or even if I do update another page on my site, if I say, you know, I put some new information about clients that I have, I go to my blog and say, I've got some new information about my clients, and I link to that page, because that's the way people find out new stuff. Yes?
You always go to blogger.com to update.
I do, yeah. And, you know, if you use WordPress, you'd always go to WordPress. If you use iWeb, iWeb's a bit more complicated because you don't actually have, I don't think there's any way to change those templates. There may be, but I don't know what it is. Sorry, in the back there first. Yes? It is,
okay, so
and everything else.
Google input and add it to the web.
Well, in my case, I've been doing this for a long time, so if you go writer, you know, editor, Canada, and I'm number two, but that's because I've been doing this for a long time. You won't just show up random. I mean, really the way people find you is when you give them your business card, and they has your web address on it, or you tell them your name, and they remember it, and they look for Derek Miller. Oops, not Nili. Okay, and you find the more famous musician than me first, because he's actually won some Juno Awards or something, and then you find me. And if you've got a more obscure name, they'll find you faster. And if your name is John Smith, you'll have a harder time. Yes, Greg.
How do people find the stuff you write on your blog?
Good question. I don't know. They search for many, many very obscure things, and I may have happened to have written about those. It's sort of like casting a really wide fishnet. I happen to write about anything that interests me at the moment. So I have a page about how I bought a digital piano for my daughter, and another page about how I used my training in oceanography to explain to people how tsunamis really work after the tsunami last year. And there's a lot of links to that because people want to know, right? Sorry, there was another question there. Yes.
Okay, you may have already answered this before.
Maybe.
Okay, I have a domain name.
Yeah.
But I don't have an active website.
Right.
If I were to now start at Blogger,
yeah.
Could I, 6 months from now, when I get my actual website working, go back to Blogger and change to advanced settings so that it would then...
Absolutely. Yes, that's what I did. And you could do that, or you could use that domain direct trickery to do it right now, to go to the people that have your domain, or whoever. There may be a way for them to do it, and point to your Blogspot blog. And so that it can even be as simple as it doesn't even have to persist as long as it works. So you can, like, I have things that I've set up, just they're called redirects, and I'll show you this just before I get the next question. If you go to... I was at a conference called Northern Voice that some of you came to on the weekend. I set up a thing that's penmachine.com/voice. When you go there, oops, does that not work? Oh, P machine. Let's try that. penmachine.com/voice. It does this little redirect, and it ends up somewhere totally else. Even that would be fine if you can set up a redirect, because then when people type in the address, at least they get to where they should be going. And you'll have the right address on your business card, and later on it'll end up where it should be.
Okay, and then just the second part of that
yes.
question. Where I do have, I'm pretty sure, my real website name,
yeah.
Should I try to get that built into my Blogger name, or doesn't it matter? It
doesn't really matter.
Okay.
I mean, it would be nice if you happen to get the same name.
Okay.
You know, if you have a domain that isn't already taken at Blogspot, sure, why not?
Okay.
Yes, hang on. Amanda first, and then we'll get back to
this. This is more just because I'm curious. So, Google,
yeah.
I once was trying to find a company and their website. website and I typed in and I could not for the life of me find it. Can you, like, pay, I mean, do people pay Google to put them in there?
They don't pay Google. They pay other people to give them advice and try tricks to get it in there, but I'll tell you that most of that advice is worthless. What you need to do is when you build your website, you need to put the words that you think people might be searching on your website. That's really what it amounts to. On my site, the reason when you get Writer Editor Canada at the top is that at the top of my page, it says Derek K. Miller, Writer Editor, Vancouver, Canada.
But why, if you're searching for a company name, you type in the company name, the website has their name, and it wouldn't come up?
Often because they've built their site poorly, and they haven't, even though it looks like, well, I'll give you a good example of that, actually. This may have changed recently. Oh, no, that works now. I wanted to find the website for Moores, the suit people, because I wanted to buy a suit a couple years ago. I tried Moores Suits, Moores Canada, whatever, and for some reason they didn't have Moores Suits Canada on their main webpage. They had Moores the suit people. So if you looked for Moores the suit people, you found them. But if you look for Moore Suits Canada, they didn't have the word Canada on there. I guess they do now, because now they come up. So it's really a matter of saying, okay, what might people be looking for? And it doesn't have to be at the top of the page. It can be in the titles. It can be in the content. But ultimately, what the advice is write about what it is you want people to find you about.
Or youth and then these children.
Yeah.
Along those lines, did I not see a box where you had, it was a description, and you had a bunch of keywords in there?
Yeah, there was one in my site. That's actually mostly legacy. There is a in Blogger, there is a thing where you can say description, and it automatically gets put into your site. And that would be a reasonable place to say, you know, this is a blog about me, who's a writer and editor, and because there's not room to do that everywhere. You know, so it has a little box on the side. So yeah, there's places to do that. It used to be, and the reason it still exists on my site, is the old search engines before Google actually cared about the word. You said, these are the keywords for my site. That's irrelevant now, because Google looks at it and says, it does two things. It says, what are the actual words that people read? And two, who else is linking to you? And what are they linking about? And that's really what Google does, is it takes advantage of everybody who builds websites, like you're going to do once you have this, and links to other websites. And it takes advantage of your brain as a human being saying, this other site is worth linking to, and therefore it's a good site. Graham, you had a question.
No, I think that answers it. I was asking, do blog results come up mixed with other
Google Absolutely.
Results?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, yes. Blogs are just websites, and as far as Google's concerned, it's just another website with text on it. So when you search for something, you will get regular websites mixed in with blogs that write well about a topic. So that
something in the URL that lets you know it's a blog?
No, because a blog is just a website. It's a website that's easy to update. There's nothing, you know, New York Times doesn't have blogs, but plenty of newspapers have people who are working for them who blog. The front page of my company, we run that front page through blog software because it's easier to put up the latest news updates than it is another way. So it's just a technical background of how you do it. You could make a blog just by using Dreamweaver and updating the page every time you do it. It just would be a hassle and you'd never do it, which is why blogs are good, because it just makes it easier to do. What was the example? Oh, yeah, I wanted to show you that tsunami example. Why did the tsunami go so far inland? And there I am. Because I wrote an article called How Far Did the Tsunami Go Inland? And, you know, here, these are assignments from a school. This is the Institute of Geological and Nuclear Sciences Limited. But apparently I have more authority than they do. But the reason I did is because I wrote an article that people actually found useful and linked to a lot, because it really is about that. And in fact, I've got a whole page that aggregates these, and a lot of people come to my site about that. Because at the time, I was hearing a lot of stuff that I knew from my oceanography training was BS. So I wrote an article saying, well, here's the real story as far as I understand it.
So is that stored in a separate page?
Well, what blog software does is generally each entry will appear on the home page in reverse order. You'll have a monthly archive, and usually each individual entry has its own page as well. So it appears in three places at least. And that's all automated. So this is another reason why it's good to use blog software, because if you had to do that yourself, and update all of the links that index them all and link them together, it'd take you all day to do one post. Yes?
Can I ask you about domain direct?
Yeah.
Getting your
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Number one, do I need a designer to design that web page?
No.
Number two, can I match the blog software then to my...
Well, what I'm saying is, if you just get the domain, you can just point it at your Blogger site, and that's all you need to do. You don't need to have any other pages at all if you don't want. So the domain is just an address. And if you choose, think of it this way. Think of your blog.
Is that a park domain? Is that a park?
You'd have to look at their... I think a park domain doesn't actually do anything. It just means nobody else can have it.
Okay.
What they had was the email one gives you email, and it gives you the domain, but it doesn't give you any storage space to put a website on. You might have to email them and say, okay, how do I get one? You know, you can email them, you know, contact their technical support. They're interested in getting your money. If you get in contact with them or any of the gazillion other services that are out there and say, I've got this Blogspot blog and that I've had, and I've put some stuff in it, and I want to get my domain pointing at it, what do I do? They'll tell you. Or you just go to them and pay them the $99 and get it all taken care of, which is like another good way. I haven't looked at their blog software and how useful it is, but it's probably fine. Any other questions? Yes?
There's a domain name that I'm interested in, but the .com version of it is taken. The .ca version is available.
Take the .ca. It used to be that a .com was important. Mm-hmm. I think generally, and this, you know, I probably get the vibe in this room and from talking to people, people aren't so hung up on that anymore. It used to be if you didn't have .com, people were like, well, what's this .ca thing? Now they're like, whatever, .ca, it's fine, .net, .tv, .info, .name, whatever.
I was going to say, though, .ca to Americans is, oh, you're in California, are you?
Yeah. But, you know, if you get the .net or .org or who knows, .tv, .info, .name.
Some of the best.
But .ca is good if you're focused on a Canadian audience.
Yeah.
Because then they know you're in Canada, and you know if you're an editor, they know that you're going to know how to spell color, right? Or maneuver, or how to say lieutenant, or what a Timbit is. So there we go. A toque, yes, perfect. Or Chesterfield. So anyway, that's sort of my vibe here. You can go home now, and if you want to, you can sit down and set this up. And don't worry about it. If you set it up and you go, oh, this is, this, you know, I don't like it, or, you know, it kind of sucks, I'm not having a good time, just forget about it. Or you can delete it. There is an option in there to delete the whole blog, make it go away. My wife did that 3 or 4 times before going on. She's run one now for a while. But before that, she tried it a few times. Or if you don't like the design, you can change the template. You can get somebody to build another one for you. You can decide, Blogger's not for me, I'm going to try the other one. Again, especially when they're free, there's no real harm in it. I mean, there's some cost to Google and WordPress when people come in and try and bail out. But they're also paying the cost. There are people who are setting up blogs that all they are is really spam. They're just trying to get ads, and they have like this nonsensical content on them. Mm-hmm. And you're wondering, what are they doing it for? Usually they put ads on them, and they're hoping somebody will click on it and make some money for them. So that, you know, that's a real problem for them. Somebody who comes and tries it out and doesn't really like it that much and bails out, for them that's just, you know, the cost of doing business, and maybe you'll come back and stick around and then put some ads on your site and they'll make some money. Who knows? Yes?
So it's just using this simple blogger.com thing to set something up. Do you think it would be a good mechanism to use as a marketing tool for your vendor?
Absolutely.
So
if you
could set up, you know, like, your prices, or
you know what I would do?
Divide it into different sections.
Yeah. Too often, people get so hung up with, you know, I got to have a section for my pricing and my work samples and this and that. The problem is, then you're paralyzed, and it never gets done, and you don't have them at all.
Right.
It would be better and perfectly fine for me for you to say a post saying, "People have been asking me what I charge," and you title it "What I Charge." And you write the post and maybe make a little table or just some lines saying, you know, for this kind of work I charge $40 an hour, or a project like this I charge $2,000 and this and that. Do whatever it is you want there. You know, make sure your spelling and grammar and punctuation are good, obviously. Publish it, and there it is. And then if you make new posts, it'll scroll down the page. But if people come to your site, you know, they go to the, you know, whatever, Wednesday, oh. I don't want that. Oh, sorry, I'm in the wrong web browser. I've gotten myself all turned around here. So So if they go here, by default, you have a thing up here where you say, you know, you could type in YWCA. And, you know, in this case, there's only one post, but it finds that particular post, right? Oh, all right. Oh, that was probably the first one that I put up. So it got that one into the index, but it didn't get the other one. But anyway, if you did that and somebody searched for, you know, what do you charge, they'd find your what do I charge article. And people do that. They'll, you know, that's what they'll do. They'll come to your site, well, what do you charge? And if you have the search, it'll work. And, you know, it's like so many other things. It's better to have something that's a bit hacked together and not quite so elegant that actually works than nothing. And if you're trying to get, you know, a big, elegant website that's got all the parts in the right places, it's all pretty, it ain't going to happen unless that's the kind of job you do and you want to do that and spend a lot of time or a lot of money on it. But I don't know very many editors who have a lot of money. So.
Yeah. I think you pointed out earlier, this is how I feel too when I'm looking on the web. If I look and it hasn't had a recent posting, I go away right away.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing, is making sure you keep...
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be every day.
Oh, no.
It doesn't have to be 5 times a day like I did today.
If it's 2001, I'm like...
Yeah, but if, you know, if you update it once a month, that's fine. If you update it once, you know, it tends to get confusing for people if you post 6 posts in a day and then another 3 posts 2 days later and then you don't post again for 2 months. Then they sort of, if they get a sense of what your rhythm is, then that's fine. And that's the other advantage of those feeds I showed you before, because as you know, you probably saw, there was some were bold-faced and some were not. The bold-faced ones are new since the last time I checked. So even if this site doesn't update itself for a month, it's going to, you know, it's going to look like this. It's going to have nothing in it for a while, you know, like this one. And then when a new one comes up, it'll be bold-faced, and I'll go, oh, there's something new, and I'll read it. So people who are reading that way will just know when you get a new entry, even if you haven't done one for weeks.
Sorry, what was that called again?
This program? Well, this is what's called a feed reader. It's subscribe. Oh, and I'll show you. Sorry, the blogger doesn't do a good job of telling you about this, but every blog on here, at least it should. Yeah. So it this is the feed. Don't worry about what it looks like. So if somebody comes to your blog with a program that understands this, they'll be able to find where that feed is. But don't worry about that too much for now. Just know that it's something that exists and there are other ways for people to read your website. Most of them will come and read it when they read it. Yes? Sorry.
Is there a way to hide that line that says posted by Ms.
Landreset? You can either change the template or pick one of the templates that... there may be some of the templates that don't have that line in them. You can actually remove it in the template, too. So mine doesn't say who posted it, because it's always me.
Right.
Or you can just choose a name that, you know, posted by site administrator. You can go change that any time. Or posted by Wednesday. You know, you could just say posted by whoever. Posted by nobody. You can change that to whatever you want. It doesn't have to be your name. You can eliminate it altogether, but usually that involves going in and changing the code in the template or seeing if you can find a template that doesn't include that. So it's a bit iffier there. If you want to start saying, well, I don't really like this font, and the dots are the wrong color, and I wish this had the seconds on it, and this should say responses rather than comments, you're going to have to get in there and start mucking around or hire somebody to do it.
What is that comment?
Well, somebody can come to your site. For example, I can go here and...
And they could say, this guy sucks.
This guy sucks. Now, the thing about that, though, is at least by default... Oops, sorry.
That's a good point. Can you delete their
comment? You can. But at least by default, it says one comment here, and I click on it. But it says, Ned Flanders said, this guy sucks. Because I'm logged in as Ned Flanders. By default, you have to have an ID at Blogger to be able to comment on somebody in this instance. Or at other sites, you have to enter your name, email address. Some places you can fake it, some places you can't, some places you need some sort of login ID. So usually, it's expected that if you're going to comment, you're going to admit who you are. Or the website person doesn't really care if they get random flames from people who hate them. There are ways to track people down, but you don't have to have comments. You can turn them off. There is actually an option to turn them off.
Yeah, sometimes that's the best thing.
Yeah. But the thing is, that's another way for people to update your site without you doing anything. Right? Yes.
And then there's the option of having the upside-down characters to make sure that you don't have spam.
Yes, you can have it there so only real people who can read the weird, obscure letters. There's all sorts of settings that you can change to do different stuff here. The default setting in Blogger is pretty sensible for most people. One of the things that, remember I said earlier that there was sort of an argument about what constitutes a blog and what doesn't among the real geek types. Some of the real hardcore people say it's not a blog if it doesn't have comments, which I think is crap. But they're saying that the interaction between the people who read it and the people who generate the blog is part of it being a blog. Given that when the word weblog was invented, that no such commenting system existed, I think that says that that's not necessarily true. It's just that a lot of blogs happen to work that way. And it is useful. I mean, I don't get a ton of comments, but I often do. You know, I do a little post about my daughter's birthday, and people say, happy birthday. You know, our friend from Australia who visited us 5 years ago left a little comment saying happy birthday, you know, in there, and that's nice to see. Or I make a or I pontificate about something, and somebody knows that I'm totally wrong, and they come and tell me. And then I go, oh, okay, I guess I was wrong about that. Or something less polite. But whatever. You know, it's interesting to have that interaction if you want to bother with the time to deal with that. If not, turn the comments off and just have it as a site that you post stuff to. There's lots of options, and you'll discover them. The thing is, once you start doing this, and if it's something that interests you, you'll find out all the neat things that go on. You'll find out, you know, this conference that happened over the weekend that I was at, that Paulette and some other, and Millie and some other people came to. It was all about people who were interested in blogging stuff. And some of them were, well, what's a blog? And some of them were, like, people who invented parts of the Internet. There's a guy here in town called Tim Bray who invented the technology that lets all this feed stuff happen. Not the feeds. He invented the stuff underneath. It's sort of like inventing plumbing. And he was there with his 5-year-old son and his wife who helps him organize the conference. So it was a mix. And he was just, you know, chatting to people about whatever. So you start to, the thing about blogs and all this internet stuff is it's really still about people. It's about words that you write and that other people read and people who get in touch with you. And, you know, people treat it as if it's some big alienating thing, the internet. It's not. You know that. You know how email keeps you in touch with people that would have been impossible to do 10 years ago. And how, you know, you can have a webcam and you can say hi to your husband or wife when they're traveling when you never would have seen them or talked to them before, except for $3.50 a minute previously. Now it's free. So this is all part of that. So if you do have questions, I'm at the end here. But if you come here to penmachine.com, hope that's the pen machine. But if you come to penmachine.com, you can go over here and click on that, and that'll send me an email. If you click on my picture. See right there? Just click open the email program and everything. Or you can leave a comment. Ask a questionnaire. Put your email in it. My comments look a little bit different because I use a different software for it. But you just say, you know, here's my name, here's my email, here's my website. Your email doesn't appear on the website. I can see it, but other people don't, so you're not going to get spam from it. You can leave a comment. You can go to the Editors Association section, and I'll have links to the slides. And I think we're done. So there we go. Thank you.